general government of the Joint Ways and Means. And this morning we're scheduled for work session, and we've got House Bill 2804 before us this morning. And we'll turn the time to legislative fiscal analyst Adrian Sexton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and subcommittee members. House Bill 2804 is being brought came to the subcommittee of Ways and Means because it carried a fiscal impact based on the assumption that Legislative Administration Committee would be staffing the Oregon Internet Commission, which is established in the bill. The Internet Commission is 15 members. It does have legislative membership, but more than half of the membership is also comes from the private sector, as well as having representation from Department of Administrative Services, Information Resources Management, Economic Development Department, and the State System of Higher Education. The commission is to work through the biennium and take a look at the internet commerce issues, a variety of technical issues that are associated with internet and electronic commerce, including tax policies, consumer privacy protection, and a myriad of other technical issues. To address the fiscal issue, some consideration was taken and discussions took place with the folks who were interested in the measure and having the commission take a look at these issues and continue with the work or start and continue the work and provide recommendations to the next assembly. In working with the Economic Development Department, we have in front of you D3 amendments, which I've also provided to you in a hand in growth form, which do a couple of things significantly. That it deletes Legislative Administration Committee as being required to provide the staff, and the Economic Development Department has agreed that they can provide administrative staff support to do the basic organizing work of the meetings, setting them up, providing the distribution of agendas and follow-up work of an administrative support nature. And that was also assuming, based on the statements of Representative Jim Craven representing the American Electronics Association, that it was also expected that the folks who are providing the private sector representation on the commission will also be able to provide in-kind and other technical assistance to the commission in order for it to conduct its work. My original assumption in the fiscal impact statement did indicate that contract services for technical assistance weren't included in my original fiscal, but I based that statement on the nature of the work that the commission is intended to do, and I felt that it was of a significant technical substance, the tax policies and encryption and things of that sort, that they would need to have some substantive assistance. And so it is our understanding that they will provide that kind of assistance to this commission with the Economic Development Department providing the support staff to make the meetings happen. At this point, if the subcommittee agrees with the recommendation from the substantive committee that this do pass, it would be appropriate to adopt the D3 amendments and move the bill forward.
Can we invite Doris Penwell up from the Oregon Economic Development Department as to the administrative assistance portion of it, please? Thank you, Ms. Penwell. You've heard the testimony and the information from the legislative office. Would you like to give us your take on the administrative assistance portion of that from OADD?
Surely. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Doris Penwell from Economic Development Department. The department did agree to provide the staff support for the commission. We think the commission is rather important in terms of the way businesses do business in this world today. So we're very glad to provide the assistance. We don't believe it will be an extensive amount of resource required to do the job from the standpoint of the department. We have gotten assurances from the business interests, that they will be glad to contribute the technical assistance and other support to make it really a usable report that comes out to the next legislative session. So I think we'll be fine with the amendments being made.
Thank you very much. Are there questions of Ms. Kimmel?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Lynn is recognized.
The P3 amendment to lead authorization for payment for per diem and mileage to the non-legislative commission members. If they have a fund, could they still pay even though it's deleted, or what's the situation? If they work, I think they're actually entitled for per diem for mileage.
These would be lay members, that is, agencies
yes.
from the private sector.
Yes.
Chances are that they would be, and we'll get Mr. Craven to enter some testimony as to what the private sector would be willing to contribute relative to the technical and in-kind contributions, and that's what keeps it fiscally neutral.
Mr. Craven is not here today.
Oh, okay. All right. Anyone from the American Electronics Association that we're aware of?
I don't believe so. Mr. Chair, if I might, in the conversation that I had with Mr. Craven, it was his suggestion that be deleted because of the folks, the level of their capacity, if you will, that these are the business people who contribute their time to these kinds of things anyway. These are not public members that we would typically think of where we're seeking a broad range of public input from citizens who are representing some groups, interest groups, and things, that type of structure, but rather these are folks who will be representing the businesses and industries that are involved. So it was assumed that they would be contributing their time to this effort and that the $30 a day statutory per diem and 30 cents a mile is probably not relevant in this case.
Okay, so okay, you did. I said legislators being paid is per diem and expenses, but the private sectors are not. I said to someone, I know that you know, they can pay their own as a businessman, but I said it's literally 15 minutes for it. So.
Yeah, there would be a couple of members from the House and a couple of members from the Senate, I believe, total, as I recall.
Two members House and two members of
the Senate. And I think that the original intention was for them to meet a total of about eight different times between now and the year 2000, and to the end of the year 2000. So, Ms. Pinwell, relative to the e-trade, if you will, the economic trade. My recollection is from the Transportation Economic Development Committee was that this is a high priority for the Oregon Economic Development. Is that still your understanding,
Mr. Chair? That's correct. In fact, you should probably know that the members of the private sector that are very interested in this sort of committee said that if they couldn't get a committee set up from the public sector to coordinate with the private sector, they want to go ahead and try to do some sort of a group anyway to put together some kind of a report and recommendation to the next session because it's so important. So, and we definitely agree with them on that subject.
Fine. Thank you very much. Do we have any further questions relative to the dash B3 amendments to House Bill 2804 that we would like to address to Ms. Pinwell? Thank you very much, Ms. Pinwell. We appreciate your comments.
So I'm ready to move the dash B3 amendment.
Senator Pruitt at this time moves the dash B3 amendment to House Bill 2804B. Any no votes? If not, then so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I'm ready to move House Bill 2804 to the floor or to the full committee as amended with a recast recommendation.
Senator Pruitt now moves House Bill 2804 as amended with the B3 amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due-pass recommendation. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And let's be clear, Joe, would you like to hear that?
Yes, I would.
And the Senate, and the Senate Representative Hill probably, and if you'll trade it with full, so that's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
519. Are you trying to go ahead and get Senator Winter, Representative Winter's input. Thank you very much.
We'll now open the work session on House Bill 3509 and invite the Representative Jackie Winter. Welcome, Jackie. We honor for your presence here today. We're skipping around just a little bit. Perhaps you'd like to just introduce us briefly to 3509, if you would please, Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the record. My name is Jackie Winters. I'm the State Representative of District 31, and I come to you this morning on behalf of House Bill 3509. Just a little background on 3509. During the interim, the Senate Interim Budget Committee and the Oregon Collectors Association studied the problem of state receivables, and they compiled an inventory of the state receivables, and what they found that the state of Oregon is owed about $1.8 billion in delinquent debt. And when we came into session, this session, Senator Neil Vine and I sat down and worked with the Collections Association to come up with a first, kind of a first step plan to solve this problem. We don't know, any of us who are policymakers, as to what the status of debts are in at any given time. So House Bill 3509 requires that agencies must have a consistent record of the debt, or the status of the debt, and that debt which is being either forgiven or what they're doing to try to collect the debt. And in doing so, in order to do it, we found that some agencies had the capability of tracking debt, some did not. They were all in various phases, and so in working with the Department of DOS, as well as collectors, we came up with what we think is a workable bill to allow both the reporting and information that we need as policymakers, as well as to give them the opportunity or the time to get their various systems in place. And Dash 9 and Dash 10 amendments address those particular time elements, because the bill does require that they come back and report to us as to the status of the debt. It also encourages the agencies that where they cannot collect the debt, to pass the debt on to a private agency. In some cases, it may be even to speed up their accounts and pass it on to revenue. This is to me, a very important piece of legislation. While we busily in these halls figure out ways of how to spend money, I think we also have the responsibility of finding ways that we're becoming much more efficient in collecting those dollars that are owed to us. And with that, I'm open for any question that you might have.
Thank you. Questions on your call?
I certainly agree with the concept of this, Jackie. Question about the governor's office and DAS, are they supportive of this?
They support this with the two amendments that are before you.
Thank you. Other questions of Representative Winters relative to House Bill 3509?
Mr. Chair,
Senator,
thank you very much. And which is the largest amount of uncollectible debt that you have?
The Judicial Department has over $2 million in debt. And also, we have to understand some of this debt we can never collect. That is a part of the federal system, has a whole different set of rules and regulations. So if you're looking at child support, for example, that has a huge debt piece to it. But we also have debt that we can speed up to collect within our system, and so it's an attempt to get at those accounts.
Okay. Generally, Jackie, do we think that the whole effort will be cost effective and that it will make money for the state?
In the long run, yes.
One more question.
Senator Lynch.
Is this the debt, did you say $1.8 or $9 billion?
When the study was completed during the interim, the figures show that the amount of debt was $1.8 billion. And about $500 million of that is in general fund.
Okay, and how far is going back?
And I wasn't part of the study,
okay.
So I can't answer that question.
Okay, thank you.
That's also part of the reason we need the tracking system, because the agencies could not even tell you the length or the time of the debt. We do not have a systematic approach to tracking debt, so we also don't know how much of that has been debt that's been forgiven. So this bill will allow us to do some tracking and to set up some systems.
Other questions representing owners? Thank you very much, Representative Winters. We appreciate you being here today, and you honored us with your presence, and we appreciate your testimony.
I thank you for hearing me.
Let's see. We have the Dash 9 and Dash 10 amendments before us, and Representative Winters was kind enough to present me with copies indicating the support of both herself and Senator Bryant as the chief co-sponsors of this particular bill. Yes, we are in work session.
I move the Dash 9 amendments.
It's been moved by Representative Leonard that we approve the Dash 9 amendments to House Bill 2509. That's 2509.
3509.
That's right. I beg your pardon. It's been moved by Representative Leonard that we approve the 3509B-9 amendment. Are there any objections to accepting those amendments? If not, so
that would be a Dash 10 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I think I need to share with the subcommittee on the Dash 10 amendment the Department of Revenue had with you, and the certain Department of Revenue. But they said it was not clear to them whether the Dash 10 amendment meant that DOR was exempt from the provisions of the bill just for their account, or also for the accounts of Department of Revenue and all the agencies that submit to them accounts for collection. If it means that they are exempt from both their accounts and the accounts of other agencies, there is a zero fiscal impact in 9901. If it means that they are only exempt from collecting on their own behalf until 7901, then they would have a slight fiscal impact in 9901.
Well, don't they at present have in place, my understanding is they have in place a program to collect their own debts at present?
Mr. Chair, that is correct. Their own debt, and as well as debts that other agencies turn over to them.
Oh, I see.
And they said that it's clear to them that the Dash 10 amendment exempts them from doing their own debt.
Which they present.
Also, or one. But is it clear that they are exempt from processing other state agencies debts until 7-1-1?
We do have Teresa McHugh present, maybe relative to the Dash 9 amendments and her understanding of Dash 9 and any conversations that she may have had with the Department of Revenue. But okay, Jana, I beg your pardon, I didn't see Jana there. Thank you, Jana. You had provided us with copies. And I had a note in my file indicating that when you gave the fiscal Dash 10 of the DOR was okay with that.
President Butler, members of the committee, I'm Jana Kendall. I'm the Deputy State Controller. And yes, that was our understanding with Department of Revenue. With those Dash 10 amendments, they would be okay. There was some concern about the notes, but if there's some concern that they're not fully covered within this bill. It gives the Department of Administrative Services some authority to give them some extra time through an exemption and allow them then to make whatever adjustments they need to for their system still in a timely manner, but not to have a fiscal impact.
Dan, is it your understanding that in that interim period of time through June 30 of 2001, that relative to the portion of the debt that is administered through the Department of Administrative Services, the Department of Revenue would not be responsible for it? That the debt that we're talking about, that the Department of Revenue already administers its own debt collection program and will continue to do so through January 1st, 2001, no matter what the circumstances are here. Is it your understanding further, then, that the other debt administered or monitored through the Department of Administrative Services that is due to the state from other agency sources and debtors would not be administered by the would not be required to be administered by the Department of Revenue until July 1st, 2001?
Yeah, point of clarification. On the record, my name is Jackie Winters, the state representative. It deals with the report and not with the collection activity. It just delays the time for the Department of Revenue to allow them to give us the reporting information. It does not discontinue their activity for collecting on behalf of the agencies, and I think I should make that clear. It deals with reporting activity only.
Mr. Chair, can we make sure that that's the intent, that everybody understands that it goes forward?
Yeah, we probably should have some. Ms. Kendall, you must have had some conversations with the Department of Revenue, and maybe we need someone from the department to.
Mr. Chair.
Why don't we recess for just 2 minutes to work that issue through the standard attendees for... House Bill 3509.
We were just a little unclear as Department of Revenue is unsure whether or not this included both their own accounts that they collect and the other agency accounts that they collect. And just clarify that it does intend to include both of those. So it gives them time to make program modifications without a different account.
Okay. You're satisfied that that the Department of Revenue has no fiscal impact in that regard, relative to this? Oh, okay.
That's all I was going to say.
Okay.
With that clarification, there's no fiscal impact.
Okay.
I think we'll stick with my motion. I hate to say this, but we do be a senator.
Yes, we do. You need to just put a sergeant at arms at that door and just don't let Sherry Lee out.
Or else you get that coat again before that process.
Okay.
I'll get body by that coat.
Representative Leonard now moves that House Bill 3509.
We haven't taken action on defense.
Right, B-10 amendments be incorporated into House Bill 3509. Are there any objections? Okay, there being none, go ahead and incorporate the B-10 amendments into 3509.
I move House Bill 3509 as amended to the full words and means of the prepared recommendation.
Representative Leonard now moves 3509, House Bill 3509, with the B-10 amendments to the B-10 amendments
and B-9.
B-9 and 10, right, exactly. With the B-9 and B-10 amendments, therein included. To be reported to the full Ways and Means of the due pass recommendation. Are there any objections? Hearing and seeing none, so ordered. And Representative Leonard, could we have you carry that to the full Ways and Means? And Representative Leonard, would you carry that for us kindly on the floor of the House?
I would be very happy to do that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And the floor of the Senate?
Forgive me for the rubber band, sir.
Senator Lynn, Senator Lynn to the floor of the Senate. Thank you very much. Thank you, Representative Winters. Thank you. Okay, we'll close the work session on 3509. On the 31st, if we don't get out of here, the continuing resolution is all up, and the electricity goes off anyway. So, just want to make sure the power company members are still paid up to the end of the month. Work session on House Bill, Senate Bill 118. Legislative Fiscal Office representative is Georgine Bailey. Our clerk for today is Jamie Penn. Ms. Bailey.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I have distributed the staff major summary from the hearing on this bill when it was in the Senate Committee on Trade and Economic Development, as well as proposed amendments, A6 amendments to Senate Bill 118. Essentially, what Senate Bill 118 does is allocate 1% of the lottery resources to the Problem Gambling Treatment Fund, and that fund is established by this bill. The amendments that I distributed, the -A6, transfer the program to the Department of Human Resources and authorizes the department to appoint an advisory committee or designate an already existing advisory committee. There is some additional amendments that need to be made that we haven't received yet. That amendment would authorize the allocation of the 1% of lottery funds to commence on July 1 of 2001. The other amendment, and I can only give it to you conceptually, it was originally proposed as a budget note, and we thought it needed to be in legislation. It relates to the transfer of the program from the Department of Human Administrative Services to the Department of Human Resources. And that language would basically direct the Department of Human Resources to continue contracting for local service delivery with county-based gambling addiction programs that meet performance standards that are described in these A6 amendments.
And do we have an estimated time of arrival on the...
Mr. Chair, we should get those amendments today. I checked just before I came in while you were here. I'm sorry, I didn't still have to receive them, but I expected that one.
Okay. So those would be the -7 amendments, A7 amendments.
I believe that is correct, Mr. Chair. What the committee could do is decide whether it wants to accept the A6 amendments and pass the additional changes conceptually.
I'm sorry, the additional changes do what again?
The additional changes simply say that when the program is transferred to the Department of Human Resources from the Department of Administrative Services, DHR will continue to contract for local service delivery with those counties that have addiction programs that meet standards that are specified in the A6 amendment.
Mr. Chair, I would conceptually move that as staff explained it.
The recommendation is from legislative fiscal that we conceptually receive a needed amendment which would authorize the allocation of the 1% referred to in Senate Bill 118 to begin on July 1st of the year 2001, and secondly, which would transfer from the Department of Administrative Services to the Department of Human Resources to continue to contractually contract for the local delivery of the services that are discussed for the addiction and gambling problems that are related to in Senate Bill 118. Senator Crowe?
I have a question, and I'm wondering, why do we want to change it from the Department of Administrative Services to the Department of Human Resources to do that? Is that okay with everybody involved? Okay.
I'm wondering if the gambling addiction is part of it. Everyone's shaking their head. Yes, I suppose that means it's all right.
Quite bad.
Department of Human Resources, and the Department of Human Resources normally would contract locally for those funds. And I'm going to guess that that's probably the easier way to go. And now Teresa's shaking her head.
I think we've been reassured.
Okay.
The head shakes.
For the record, everybody in the room shaking their heads affirmatively up and down.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Lynn.
What is the total amount of appropriation for this coming biennium? And what is the 1%? I'd like to see the difference. I think it's about the same equal.
Mr. Chair, the Department of Administrative Services has in its proposed budget at this point,
yes.
House Bill 5002, $5,273,048 for gambling addiction treatment.
Okay.
If this bill had passed with the 1% in it, effective this year, it would have added $612,000.
It will add. It could decrease also, right?
Mr. Chair, we have some kind of an existing addiction program, and I know that the Association Board and County is very much involved in that. Could we hear from them just briefly before we wrap this up and see what they think? I think Mike is here.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Mike McCracken, and I'm Executive Director of the Association of Community Mental Health Programs. We're affiliated with the Association of Oregon Counties. Just in the few minutes we have remaining, I do want you to understand the impact of dropping the bill from a 1% dedication, as we agreed to in Senator Lynn's committee, down to the amount that's approved in 2002. That's roughly a $600,000 difference, and it may not sound like a lot to you, but bear in mind this is a program we're operating in every corner of this state, and the money's already charged quite tight. And I will briefly run down the impacts of that $600,000 reduction. Number one, there will be no funding increase for any gambling addiction treatment program in the state. Programs I want to point out have been operating at the same funding level since its inception in 1994. So that'll mean we'll be going about 6 years without even our cost of living increase for inflation. There was a little adjustment that we made during the emergency board in April of 98, but other than that, no increases have been given. We will be unable to begin program funding in Lake County, which has not been a participant, but now has the capability and the desire to meet the needs of a growing number of problem gamblers and their families in that remote part of Oregon. It's a very difficult part of Oregon to serve. Now there is a new casino very nearby that area. We'd very much like to start a program up, but the temple will not be any dollars to do that. There are concerns still about performance problems, and I've talked with this committee and other members of the legislature about performance problems in the past. We've solved most of those, but we continue to have problems with Kearney counties, Klamath counties, and Clatsop counties. Normally, we do not discontinue funding until we have a plan so that the residents of that area are able to plug into a program. We do that by consolidating services. But there won't be any funds available to make those consolidations, so we'll have continuing problems in those three counties. In Washington and Douglas counties, both of those have been doing exceptionally well. They have a very high rate of admission, and they're performing at a very high level. With the dollars we gave from the last e-board, we added a 10% increase for programs in Portland and in Eugene. But in these counties would perform at the same level should get that 10% increase, Washington Douglas, but there would not be dollars available to do that, so they're going to be treated somewhat unfairly. And in the case of Douglas County, I know that county is subsidizing their own general funds, their gambling treatment programs. And finally, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we've had strong direction from Senator Lynn's committee to establish programs for ethnic minorities, but our figures show us that we're not reaching in the Portland area. There would not be funding for any new programs in the Portland area. I'm going to stray from, I guess, my authorized chefs and make a plea. I think it's difficult for you to find the funds for 1%, having spent all the lottery money last Saturday, the lottery bill moved out. I do have a suggestion to offer that would greatly alleviate this problem, and that would be to forgive or suspend for a couple of years until we reach that 1% level, the general fund loan repayback that is required to be made. There was a $448,000 amount that was loaned in April of 1998 with the provision that it be paid back from lottery funds. At that time, we were all assuming it would be 1%. We built the budget around that, and the budget that I just ran through for you still would include that loan repayment. I would ask that you consider delaying that loan repayment until the fund reaches 1% level. If you can do that, then most of these steps can be eliminated. We'll do everything we wanted to do, but the important parts, I think we can do. So I would ask for that.
Senator Trojo, Mike, what sort of official action would it take for us to do that? Do we have to pass something to delay this?
I think, Mr. Chairman, a budget that might be sufficient, but I'm not. It's been a while since I've been down here, so I'm not quite sure.
Well, certainly we could recommend it in a budget note, and then the e-board could act accordingly. Presently, under 5002, which was passed, you're basically flat-funded, which is what you have done for the last 5 years. But recognizing the shortfall, the e-board did extend the loan of $448,000 in January of 2008, and with the requirement that it be repaid from the lottery funds that are set aside for gambling addiction. So we could certainly make that as a budget narrative or a budget note in this regard to the e-board, in effect, direct the e-board to examine probably by report back to the e-board as the efficiencies that are being obtained under the $600,000 that was approved and House Bill 502, and then determine whether or not the debt service should be collected or forgiven periodically based upon the progress reports that could be made.
Need a motion to accomplish that?
Well, I think we can just, if we conceptually agree upon the budget note, I turn that to Ms. Bailey.
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the only, concern is not the appropriate word, but the only thing I need to share with you is because there is no money in this bill, it's really a substantive bill and there won't be a budget report. But if it's the committee's desire to forgive or delay the repayment of that loan payment, I will find out how to accomplish that and we will do it.
Could we accomplish the same thing as a budget note by agreeing conceptually to some language in this bill that would request that the e-board examine the possibility of delaying the payment of the general fund loan?
Mr. Chair, I believe that would be possible, but I don't know for certain. I would like to check with our legislative fiscal officer, Mike Simpson, on the appropriate way to do it. I'm sure there's a vehicle and we can do it.
Sure. I really think it's a shame that somehow or other we've come through here with not an adequate appropriation for this part of the lottery operation. I mean, if anything, we're really obligated to do with some of our incomes for this kind of program. Mm-hmm. I just can't understand why we're not doing it.
Senator Lynn is right.
Thank you, Senator. My original support is 50% of the proceeds going to Randy and Beth. That they think it's enough, so we reduce 1%. I think if it is possible, we are not helping those people. We created to this problem. And then one of the things when I had the 1%, sometime in the future, I believe that the lottery revenue will go down. It's already down. Already 1997 to 1997 or 8 went down about $12 million in 1998, went down another $23 million. And the trend is continuing to went down. There is no hope it will go up unless we introduce a new game, which I oppose. So instead of 1% might be the lower than the current amount, the proposed amount we might, we have sometime in the future. We keep it 1%. So what I'm proposing here, maybe the little amendment, not less than 1%. So a chance to increase in the future instead of 1% of this time. So that's, I don't know how, do I need to a concession amendment? So that not less than 1% instead of 51% on it.
I think we're talking, you've probably been set for a more substantive issue.
Yeah.
At that particular point, Senator Lamon, and I would feel more comfortable, particularly if we're talking about forgiving issues that the E-Board had acted on and good faith them, and our gambling addiction programs and mental health throughout the state had accepted and endorsed and incorporated into their overall budget and program. I'd rather give them a number of nails to the wall on work with relative to the forgiveness, and then the issue of the 1% versus the not less than 1%. That may address in part the issue that you're trying to get to, and that is if we come back for another $200,000 in a future year to the E-Board, that the E-Board would see the concept within the bill, and the bill says not less than 1%, and we've been dishing out 1% in the year 2003 to 2004, and lo and behold, they have a $200,000 need to address this particular gambling addiction issue, then at that particular and appropriate time, they could come forward, and as opposed to extending it as a loan, they would extend it as an outright grant to our mental health programs that address the gambling addiction issues, so that we don't come back to this place again. But I feel that maybe we'd better address the substantive issues and then perhaps have some type of language drawn up and brought back. Any further comments from the association?
Chair, for the record, Gordon Fultz, Association of Working Counties. I guess I would just say that we're comfortable with the language you're proposing, the conceptual amendment, plus the one that Mike just suggested, I think the conceptual forgiveness. If you can find a way to do that, we'd be very supportive.
And then Senator Lynn's suggestion that it be not less than 1%, and I'm not sure how we're going to get that taken care of, but it's substantive in nature.
We can take that in the chair of the Senate Committee.
We'll move it then. We'll get it done, Brian. Great idea. Okay. Let's go ahead and our time is now spent. We'll come back to and reschedule a work session on Senate Bill 118 and return to this issue, taking care of the authorization and the transfer of the administration, as well as the other conceptual ideas we've talked about relative to the loan forgiveness and the not less than 1% rule for how we can best administer those issues into some kind of amendments to the bill, and with Senator Lynn's approval coming from the committee, then we could move that back and forward. At this time, we'll go ahead and adjourn until our next session, which I believe will be scheduled at 9 o'clock tomorrow, unless otherwise we're under a one-hour notice on all of our committees at this point in the Ways and Means. Thank you very much.